Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It is December 28th, 2024. It is very, very rare that I'm doing an AEW pay-per-view post show that starts the same day that the pay-per-view does. Usually these end at midnight Eastern, and we're talking and giving you all the details on the scrum, the show, the backstage news from Fightful Select, and it's like 12:15 a.m. But by God, we are here. I am fresh off of a little trip to New York. We had some details on Madison Square Garden's WWE show and the like on FightfulSelect.com. That is what brings you this entire show, FightfulSelect.com. We had a ton of backstage news over there. I was in the Discord chatting with you guys. Please show that some love. $5 a month, $54 a year. Got to be real. Jimmy's talked about jumping up that price. So lock in your year-long price at $54 a year. My God, guys, we had so much this week. Contract news on Jordan Grace, on Brian Myers, news on Kenny Omega coming back, which came to fruition. We had news last week on Adam Copeland's return, which came to fruition, and just a whole bunch of details and stuff for you guys. Slap a retweet on our post. Leave a thumbs up. Drop a fruit emoji. Let us know that you're here. Get your super chats and humper chats in. That lets us know what you want to talk about. And if you got questions on things that might be happening, Fightful does report a significant portion of the wrestling news out there. So we have people like Zach Schimmel who are supporting us. He says, I'm going to send some money for my super chat on this show. Insert Fightful Select support plug here. Well, by God, guys, we had a bunch on there. We're going to talk about it. We'll go ahead and talk a little bit about it. I had heard that Bryan Danielson was backstage at this show. That caused some alarm for some people, but it really shouldn't have. He was at the AEW All-In ticketing event. He is still working with AEW in some capacity. He tried to downplay it a little bit, but I had been told that a little while back that he is still technically doing work with AEW and is contributing in a creative capacity, which, you know, is very important. He has a great mind for that type of thing, which yeah, they need stuff. They need guys like him who have been on both sides, both the sports entertainment side and the pure wrestling side, so to speak. So I feel like that is very, very important for AEW's direction. And this show had a little bit of all of that. It had a show at the end of the show that I thought was way too sports entertainment. It had some incredible wrestling, had some decisions that I looked at and I go, okay, we'll see how that works. Then some ones that I thought were really, really good. But let's go ahead and jump into it. Big shout out to our moderator, Luis, for helping us out. And I want to say thank you. A lot of you said very nice things about myself, my family, and what we've been through lately on social media, in DMs and the like. My DMs are an absolute trash fire right now, so I will get to them. But I just wanted to say thank you to you all, because we are publicly funded. We are publicly supported. We are not owned by a major media company. It is basically sponsors and your donations and subscriptions that keep us going. It is not clicks, contrary to what a lot of people think. So I just want to say thank you, guys. I really, truly appreciate all the great things that you all said. And to be quite honest with you guys, don't know if I'd still be around here if not for you guys this year. There are a lot of people that do not have the great support system that I have, and that will never be lost on me. I am very fortunate to do what I do, and fortunate that we do it in a wonderful community like this. Efren says, glad you're here, Sean. Love to you and your family. Nothing else. No need to post why. My bad. I'm sorry. I just want to say I appreciate you for that as well. And my God, Zach Schimmel dropping a big one. We'll have Luis apply that to the appropriate spot. Full disclosure, guys, I was supposed to fly back from New York this morning. Supposed to get up at like 5:30 and catch a flight. My ride from JFK to Times Square was longer than my flight this week. It was 2 hours compared to a 1.5 hour flight. So we changed our flights to last night, got home at like 2:33, and had to give up my tickets to the Bengals game. And it's probably a good thing that I did, because I knew it would carry over into this AEW show. But what a game that was. So admittedly, I had a little bit of attention was being paid on the Bengals game as opposed to the pre-show. Demon Diva sending me the cry laugh emojis here. Listen, you want to talk about Times Square? How about a woman who hadn't driven in years renting a car just to show me Times Square? That was the most horrifying experience of my life, Demon Diva. That was my first trip to New York. This one, I'll say this, she got me there a whole lot quicker than my airport driver did. So I guess I shouldn't be picking on her over that. But we had Toni Storm defeating Layla Gray. Layla Gray is a person who doesn't necessarily get her flowers a lot of times. Like, she is somebody that wants to work, wants to wrestle, wants to do stuff, went and got additional reps over at OVW. I believe it's her fiance, Luke Curtis, who's been doing all kinds of extra work across TNA, WWE, AEW, and the like. But they went and got in a bunch of reps at OVW because they wanted to wrestle more. And then they, you know, start doing work with New Japan at the dojo and stuff like that because they wanted to work more. This was to further the Toni Storm storyline, which, again, I have said this long, for quite some time. I have long thought that AEW has done a pretty good job with developing some underneath people in the women's division and developing some underneath stories. That way they have somebody that's ready for the title picture. This is something that I do wish WWE would do more, especially with an additional title. Like, for example, they got tag champion competing for the world title next week. It doesn't necessarily make sense to me, but they are where they are. Toni Storm gets the win. Then we see Deonna Purrazzo. And initially I was like, damn, did they bring her in for this? Just this? And then I was like, well, wait, they're in Orlando. She lives there. She lives there. And a ton of people were there as she was. I'll tell you more about them in a moment. But Toni is doing this, like, I don't know if it's a CTE gimmick. I don't know if it's a got knocked on the head gimmick. I have long thought it was just timeless Toni Storm playing her newest role, which is Toni Storm. Like, she's playing herself. And it's really good. Like, I mean, the stuff that she does resonates really, really well with people. And this allows her to be in some more undercard stuff after dominating that top title scene for the better part of a year and a half and being in that story with Mariah. Because, listen, why would Mariah call attention to herself in that situation? She's happy to not be dealing with Toni Storm. She thinks that she's gotten away with something there. So I think that works out really well. Deonna giving her the opportunity of a first time match, I thought that was cool stuff. some other people that FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 a month in the business, reported were backstage. Julia Hart, the Guns, who have not been around in quite a while. Got also Nick Wayne, Brian Danielson, who we mentioned, but a couple of former WWE names and a soon-to-be free agent, AJ Francis, who really turned heads in TNA. Like he did, you know, he did a lot of talking before he went to TNA. Has done a lot of talking since he went to TNA as well. But got his opportunity, impressed people at TNA, impressed people that watched him. I've loved First Class with Casey Navarro. Had a really, really good match with Nick Nemeth in the main event of that pay-per-view. But he was backstage. He does live in the area in a nice gated community. But he was there talking with Tony Khan before the show. He was talking with Swerve, with Prince Nana, with Jeff Jarrett. There was also the former Baron Corbin, Tom Pistock. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. I spoke to him a little bit, said he was just there enjoying a show. He's not eligible to appear anywhere for another at least month anyway. But he's a guy that, you know, I don't know necessarily if he would fit in AEW or what they would want there, but he's going to get work if he wants it. Like, he's going to appear somewhere if he so chooses. Like, I think New Japan would be a phenomenal fit for him, especially the way that he was wrestling towards the end of his WWE run. Like, go back and look at Baron Corbin's match with Carmelo Hayes that he had. It was really good. And, you know, I hate to be like the moveset guy, but listen, one of the things that made Baron Corbin not an exciting person to watch wasn't necessarily the in-ring for a long time, but when you slap on a half Nelson crossface for 2.5 minutes, it's like, okay, well, that changed his last run. That absolutely changed. But yeah, all of them were backstage. Listen, and let's be real, guys. You don't want to put your audience to sleep with a half Nelson crossface. But if you do, at least make sure they're laying on a Helix mat.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Mattress. I can't begin to tell you guys the value of a good night's sleep. It changed my life when I changed my sleeping habits. And HelixSleep.com/Fightful was a part of that before we even did business with them. I wanted to find a new mattress and I wanted to make sure I had the one that was right for me. I went to HelixSleep.com, I took their sleep quiz, got matched up to one of their models, and it's taken me from just a back sleeper to also a side sleeper, which gets me a better night's sleep in general. They have a 100-night risk-free trial. If you want to send it back, they'll come get it. They've got flexible financing plans. They've always got great deals over at HelixSleep.com/Fightful. Ideally, you're spending at least one-third of your life in your bed. Make sure that you invest in your sleep. It's something that you're using a great portion of your life. You want to check them out. They've got a 10 to 15-year warranty, free U.S. shipping with quick, no-contact delivery. Setup is so easy, and they got 30,000-plus five-star reviews at HelixSleep.com/Fightful. Check it out, guys. Love Helix Sleep. I have had two mattresses with them and their sister company, Allform. I had two couches from there as well. Truly love their product. Just great people over there. Check them out. Support them. Jeff Jarrett defeated QT Marshall. And then we had Leo Rush, Action Andretti, and Brian Cage, Lance Archer, defeating the Outrunners and Top Flight. Then we had Private Party confronting Rush and Andretti after the match, or Leo Rush and Andretti after the match. I had a little bit of pause as to, like, first off, why wasn't the tag title match on this show. And then I'm like, well, you know, considering the kind of match they're having, this is the type of thing that you would like to have on the first simulcast, the mother of all simulcasts, or the first collision. You know, you want to have that on one of these very important shows. It's something I have been complaining about for a long time. I've been saying you need to put big matches on TV. It's going to be paying for an awful lot of your stuff. So have fewer matches on the pay-per-view and then add a couple to the TV. And that's what they did. Listen, we had a pay-per-view that ended at 11:35, 11:40 or so, instead of, gosh, what was it, 14 matches or whatever. Let's see what last year had. Last year had 13 matches. And all of them, okay, well, it had 12 matches and then Christian Cage beating Adam Copeland for the TNT title. So really 12 full-on matches. This one had less than that. I am all for that. I think that AEW should reduce the number of matches to about 8 or 9 total. I would probably do one pre-show match and then disperse a lot of that on other shows. But listen, this is something that I have complained about for so long that it's not even worth doing. But Jeff Jarrett defeats QT Marshall. Listen, I've got so much respect for QT Marshall. This is a guy who bet on himself, and I don't know what exactly happened with his free agency. He wanted to wrestle more. He got himself in unbelievable shape, and then he came back to AEW, and they said, well, we're not going to have you wrestling on TV. You can help out backstage, and we value in that sense and like what you do, but it's not a good fit for us. And he put himself into a situation where he proved his worth on screen, and then they're like, okay, we're going to have you start doing some dark matches. And they did. He worked with a number of people across dark matches this year. Then he got the big boom AJ match, and it got over like gangbusters. And then they're like, well, you know, we could also have you face Jay Lethal at Final Battle, and that match was good too. They had him on ROH on Honor Club, and then he ends up working Jeff Jarrett on Zero Hour. So, like, good on him. Good on him, man. Like, it was something that you didn't necessarily see coming, and he worked his ass off and got there. Jeff Jarrett, they're teasing a thing about, like, he's gonna do something with his future. Sorry, Jay Holler, you accidentally got timed out for somebody else in the chat. I apologize, Jay Holler, that wasn't intentional. But Jeff Jarrett is going to discuss his future in wrestling. We'll see how that goes. Here's what I always say about Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett can have a match that is honestly just as good now as it was in the 90s, because he doesn't do anything different. Like, he didn't do anything in the 90s or the 80s that he couldn't do now. So, like, he can pretty well just do all the same stuff. We got a super chat from Crazy101, says, who do you see Mustafa Ali signing with? I see him working the indies for a little bit. He was very particular about wanting people to know that he is a free agent. If I were AEW, I would probably sign him and have him lead the charge for ROH on TV. If they get a TV deal, that'd be kind of cool. I'll tell you, it was kind of cool. Will Ospreay defeating Kyle Fletcher, AEW Continental Classic. Our great partners at BetOnline.ag. Yes, you can bet on wrestling, and they had odds for this match and the Okada versus Ricochet match, and they got both right on the money. Check out BetOnline.ag. You can bet big. They've got the highest limits, the highest credit card acceptance as well, the fastest payouts over at BetOnline.ag. You can bet on the NFL, the NBA, the NCAA, UFC, NHL, boxing. They got a bunch of games. You can compare their competitors. Trusted by millions. They have been at it for so long. And we're going to tell you about more of their odds throughout this show. Tony Storm, of course, was favored to win as well. But they're not just an online platform. They focus on the player. Check out BetOnline.ag. Of course, we only want you to bet what you can, and please bet responsibly. But they had Ospreay and Okada going to the finals. Fightful Select scoop thread sort of confirmed that as well. But this match was important for a number of things. One, it set up the Ospreay-Okada match, but it also continued the feud with Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher. So Ospreay didn't win later on in the night. He ran the blade, as they say, bled an awful lot, which I think went a long way for Kyle Fletcher keeping his heat, because Kyle Fletcher is a very Don Callis-inspired character. He is all about getting that heat. He has tried to eliminate those, you know, cool qualities that you might like in him, but he's still a phenomenal performer. Like, you can look at him and see he's going to be a top guy for them for a very long time. And that's very important to have. There's a great spot here where Ospreay or Fletcher tears up an Ospreay is better sign. And then he gets surprised with an Ospreay is still better sign. I love that. That was such a great spot. A nice little meme moment there. But Fletcher is a dude who got an awful lot of big wins leading to this moment. And that was something that you had to do. What I have always said, and it was about Daniel Garcia for years, Takeshita for the last couple of years, and they haven't really wasted any time on Kyle Fletcher. A lot of times when people think that a guy is next, like a Ricky Starks, eventually he's just got to be that guy. You got to push him. You got to make everybody know, no, he is the dude. Now, I know that everybody can't be Braun Breaker and Brock Lesnar, who immediately got, you know, sizable pushes, or Gunther on the main roster, who went to hold the Intercontinental title for years and then the world title. But a good example that I have used is Alberto Del Rio, who I never thought was particularly that great. He was okay. He was okay. But he's still getting bookings today because WWE pushed him in such a prominent manner immediately. I mean, if you even remember back then when they edited his profile on WWE.com, they accidentally left in a note where the editor said, I know he's supposed to be a pretty big deal pretty quickly. Let us know what you think about this. And they had him win the Royal Rumble. They had him win the world title. Sometimes you just got to immediately let people know this guy is up. Now, with Kyle Fletcher, he was kind of thrust into that situation as a result of Mark Davis's injury. But he's delivered. He's just constantly delivered. There's a whole bunch of people that didn't know he could cut promos because they didn't watch him in New Japan, and that's okay. We're not going to gatekeep here, but guy can cut promos, and guy can deliver in the ring. Guy has, you know, a manager with heat. He gets heat himself too. Oh, phenomenal. Oh, speaking of phenomenal, Ospreay wins with a Styles Clash. Saw a friend on Twitter, Jenny Omega, saying how that's the most painful move because it hurts your feet, your knees, your ankles, your penis. Listen, it can do some things to you. It can harm you. It can do some things down there. This is where I would usually go for a Blue Chew read. Usually. Like right now. Blue Chew, main event performance, main event confidence, and a main event deal. Go to BlueChew.com and use the code FIGHTFUL, and you will get Blue Chew with their first shipment for free. Shipment? Yeah, I said shipment. No waiting in line at the pharmacy, no awkward doctor's visits. You take their online exam, and then if approved, it ships straight to your door. That's right. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form, and much more affordable. How can you pass up on this? How can you pass up on that confidence? How can you pass up on that performance? How can you pass up on making your sex life better? That's what Blue Chew is here to do. You don't have to have a problem to use Blue Chew. Just get that additional performance. BlueChew.com and the code FIGHTFUL. Check it out, guys. Yeah, I'm front loading the ads if you couldn't tell. front loading those bad boys, and we are pretty much smooth sailing besides talking a little bit about NordVPN later on, which, listen, some of you are going to want to use that. But by God, good opening match, hot crowd, and I think integral to the development of this show, because listen, there's a lot of criticism of AEW all the time. Plenty of it in bad faith. Let's be real. But you need your pay-per-views hot. Honestly, you need your TV hot as well. World's End, I think, ended up with 6,700 tickets distributed. So, you know, not bad, but you want back to the 10,000, 11,000, 12,000, obviously. Jay Holler says, Sean, I'm innocent. I am so sorry about accidentally timing you out. I am so sorry. I did not mean to do that. You didn't do anything. Matt Logan says, Sean, Cincinnati Denver was a 7-star game. Okay, so kind of, because they're allowing me to be delusional for another week and think that the Bengals have any chance to be in the playoffs. Like, some of you know I do Common Bengals W, which is like my Bengals hobby podcast, but I haven't done one since the Browns game. I've just been so beat down by this team. And I, like, this is on the win streak. I haven't done shows. I might do one this week, but T. Higgins, 4th in the league in receiving touchdowns. He's missed 5 games. Ja'Marr Chase having one of the best all-time seasons of a wide receiver ever. Joe Burrow having an all-time great quarterback season. Like, what the, it's disappointing that we've lost or been put in positions to lose so many times where you shouldn't have. Meet Normus says, here's a dub for being as good a human as I thought this pay-per-view was. A humper, by the way. Hope 2025 is much better for you. Much love to the SRS family. It has been a tough one this year. But listen, I mentioned this on Twitter and on a show recently. Like, I hope that you guys don't think or believe that our work has fallen off or anything as a result. It was the toughest year of my life personally, losing some people very, very important to me. But I can say this. I passed up on a lot of opportunities. I passed up on a lot of big interviews and passed up on some shows to spend some time with that family. And I can't remember any specific instances that I passed up. I do remember all those wonderful times that I spent with my family, though. So I would encourage you guys, do plenty more of that. And listen, we ain't going to stop breaking news. We're still here. Even if I didn't do this for a living, if I was working in an Amazon factory, I'd be coming home and talking about wrestling when I got home, because it's what I like to do. So we ain't going anywhere. Love you guys and love your support as well. Okada defeated Ricochet. BetOnline AG had this one right on the money as well. I loved this Okada slap that we got, where he just runs full speed and then slaps Ricochet in the head. There are an awful lot of elements of the Ricochet thing that I'm digging. And there's some I'm not. Like, I'm not into the Andrew Tate elements of it, like the my woman's making me a sandwich stuff. I'm not into that. But I mean, right now, I would imagine what he's doing is seeing what works, because this is largely uncharted territory. He has never been this, or at least in a long time, hasn't been this. But he is a versatile performer. We've seen that with what he has done before. I mean, a lot of people point at the promo when he faced Chuck Taylor like 15 years ago or something. I saw like him doing the little laugh and telling Swerve, like, that's why you don't have a house. That's the stuff I really enjoy. I really like. And that goofy little laugh that he did there goes such a long way. It's so like, it's so good and it's so corny. And what I compare it to, a couple of different things. Broken Matt Hardy, a lot of people didn't know if it was supposed to be bad or if it was supposed to be good. And I could tell, oh, it's supposed to be like kind of corny. Jason Jordan, go back and watch his stuff from right before his career ended, which is, you know, very unfortunate. I felt like he was working so many people. I felt like he was getting over on everybody that thought that he was just like corny and awkward and all that stuff. And I'm like, he's supposed to be that. Like he's playing a heel role. He's playing like he was playing a Nepo baby who wasn't a Nepo baby. He was legitimately talented and made it there, but then was like, oh, well, my dad's Kurt Angle. Oh, it was so good. I think that Jason Jordan was meant for such incredible things. And I mean, listen, I think that like an Apollo Crews would be phenomenal in that role as well. And Ricochet too, because like Ricochet is one of those guys where I got to be real, man. If I was 20% as good or physically gifted as Ricochet, 20% as physically gifted as Ricochet. 20% is strong, 20% is fast, as agile, doing stuff off the top rope, anything. You would not be able to get me to shut up about how good I was, man. Like, it's all I'd talk about. You'd hear me put myself over all day long. And I think there's always something unique about a guy who is exactly as good as he says he is. Rob Van Dam, for example. Like sometimes you really hated that guy. Now, a lot of it had to do with the goofy guy outside blowing the whistle. But he would get on your nerves. He would piss you off. But you're like, man, he is that good. Like, you know he is that good. And I think that's Ricochet. But he lost tonight. Now, I don't know what happened with Swerve and the Hurt Syndicate. Because it was supposed to go a lot longer than it's gone. I don't know if they've just moved on beyond that, but if so, that was not the original plan, and I will find out what happened, because I know that the original pitch to get the Hurt Syndicate, who were not on this show whatsoever, was a long-term feud here. So I'll work on that. The crowd did chant at Ricochet's baldness as well. Oh boy, I got the hiccups. Hate that. Hate that. But Love for Boost says Ricochet and Okada was a real slapper. Very clever. Very clever. But Prince Nana comes out with a wagon full of toilet paper. A wagon full of toilet paper. And as they were setting this up, I could tell what they were doing. I was like, okay, they want toilet paper thrown at Ricochet. And boy, there were a lot of people in that crowd ready to spare a square. That's for damn sure. And a lot of times the do this on three comes off as corny as well. This didn't come off as corny. This came off really, really well. Ricochet is just standing there dejected in the middle of the ring. And was like, because Ricochet, like deep down, he wants to be loved. I think that's where we are with this. He really wants to be loved. But people think that he is corny and obnoxious. And now he's getting bullied. He's getting bullied at the new school. He's not the cool kid at the new school. He's getting bullied by the guy who is the cool kid at school. Not only that, shout out to the people that they gave the toilet paper to in the front row. Phenomenal aim. That could have went south real fast, and it ended up going really well. I saw people say stuff like buried, and oh my God, he's facing the IWGP champ next week. And I'm like, bro, like he just had a 20-minute match with one of the greatest champions in the history of wrestling. He is working a feud with one of the most popular people in the company. He won back-to-back-to-back matches. You know, Commander Brody King, yeah, sure. But he beat Will Ospreay on Collision at Hammerstein. Was working for the international title at Full Gear at Wrestle Dream in a match with Will Ospreay as well. Working Dynamite in an international title match against Will Ospreay. Beat Kyle Fletcher, too, who's been on a hot streak. He's doing just fine. Like, what did you think? He was going to come in and be world champion? He got other stuff to do. He's doing great. And Simmons says, so at first I was disappointed Okada kind of phoned it in with the match, but the entertainment aspect was great. Hot take, wouldn't put him with the Hurt Syndicate. Proved he doesn't need him. Them. Ricochet, I agree. I would not put Ricochet with the Hurt Syndicate. I think that he can stand on his own. Yeah, I think he can stand on his own. And it's clear he can get some heat. And doing really well. Okada, so he is, we'll talk more about that momentarily, but he was super worker Okada for almost all of his career. I don't mind him being sports entertainer Okada right now, as long as eventually we do get super worker Okada. Because, like, even when he came over and faced Danielson that first time, that was, he phoned it in a little bit. I remember hearing back then that Danielson was like, God, I wonder what kind of match I can get out of him, because he was trying to save himself for the G1, right? But, you know, maybe he was saving himself a little bit for the finals tonight, and that I understand and I get, but also it was fine. It was fine. Tijuana Street Fight. So both of the women's matches tonight started off like, kind of okay, and then got hot, man. They got wild. Thunder Rosa, I am checking to see how she's doing. Dropped an interview with her this week on, not just here on youtube.com/Fightful, but our interviews go up on tons of platforms. Spotify, Red Circle, anywhere you get podcasts, our interviews go up there too. I know I probably should have separated them a long time ago. We're too far gone. Speaking of, guys, we're going to look to do some new stuff on the channel. If we're going to look to do some of the longer form, like history of wrestling stuff and topical videos as well in 2025. If you have experience producing that type of content, scripting that type of content, hit myself or the Fightful accounts up. But Thunder's dad was at ringside. There was a wonderful spot where there was a pinata with thumbtacks in it, which I thought was just a really, really cool. I thought that was a great spot. And I'm glad to see Thunder Rosa back in this position, competing for a world title at a pay-per-view. She used to have what we called the Thunder Rosa pop. No matter where she showed up, she would get a big pop. And just one of my favorite people in wrestling at that. But Mariah May was the Bet Online AG favorite massively to win this match. The biggest favorite on the show, along with Takeshita. But there were some really, really cool spots in this match that I just adored. The thumbtack spot that ended up with the, used to be called the Samoan driver, onto the tacks. And then they got stuck in Thunder Rosa's skull. Like, oh, man. Got stuck in her skull. It was a beautiful visual. We saw Mariah May do the old Dale Gribble pocket sand. And got not only got Aubrey, but got or Thunder Rosa, but got Aubrey as well. Like, it was pretty gnarly, man. But that finish, the Storm Zero off the apron through a table. And it was really just we call that the stump pile driver, where you're not really lifting somebody up and doing like the full-on Rhino ECW lift up, hold, jump off. You're basically just pulling somebody and they're going with you and you go through the table. Somebody in my comments said that table had to be coerced into breaking. Brother, have I been there? I've been there over the last year. But, man, Thunder Rosa is such a tough-ass woman. Like, all those tacks in her head. You got Aubrey counting the three onto the tacks as well. But, listen, man, I am a Dale Gribble guy, and I am here for any pocket sand offense that we see. Mariah May, like, obviously her feud with Toni Storm took center stage, no pun intended, but by God, it's there, right? And since then, her feuds haven't really taken center stage. And that's not an uncommon thing in wrestling, right? Where after you get your big moment, it's the now what? Now what? Now what? Well, Toni Storm hit the bricks for a while. Toni Storm was gone, so they couldn't immediately follow up on that. But I mean, she's been wrestling. She's been wrestling a lot. I you know, they had her do the Mariah May stuff, and okay, that was a TV program and a Battle of the Belts program. They had her beat Willow. Match was real short, like 10 minutes, 10, 11 minutes. She hadn't been having like a lot of really, really long matches. She did the Mina Shirakawa story, which I think finally was a good story, albeit a very short one. And Mina had to hit the bricks. She told me that she was going back to Japan, and they had Thunder Rosa ready, and they were promoting Thunder Rosa in the middle of this feud as well. I think it ended up going really, really well. You need a plunder match sometimes. You need that. I'll check on Thunder Rosa, obviously. MJF defeated Adam Cole. Got lots to say about this one. Sorry, I punched my microphone there. MJF, Adam Cole had one of the hottest stories of last year. The injury to Adam Cole derailed an awful lot of things. It derailed his likely title reign. It created a title reign with Samoa Joe that wasn't going to be there, but, you know, he's great. It extended a feud that was designed to turn one guy heel and make one guy babyface. Caused the, maybe we created the devil element of it. I can't remember exactly when they started that. But MJF then took time off. So it wasn't just Adam Cole not being able to wrestle. Then Adam Cole had to take time off because his ankle was swelling up whenever he hit the road. They had to do the thing where Adam Cole came back as a babyface and said, well, you know, I got to him before he got to me, which is completely reasonable, but there were so many other heelish tactics that were employed there. Jay Holler says, can we please move on from this now? I hope so. I think it's time to. I do think you did have to blow this off, though. You had to do that. But I think you probably should have just done that immediately because it's very clear that this feud just wasn't hot. And these were two guys that were at All In, one of the most attended wrestling shows of all time, and were over with the crowd. And I mean, also, Adam Cole's injury likely contributed to MJF's injuries. Because as a result of Adam Cole not being able to work or wrestle, MJF had to wrestle a whole lot more. And this is a guy whose career and character was pretty heavily based off the fact that he didn't wrestle that much, right? Like, for example, from All In London to the end of the year, MJF had wrestled, you know, a dozen times. Since then, in the full year since then, he's wrestled 10, 11 times. Not many. He's an attraction. And I'm not saying that's a lot. Obviously, it's not a lot to wrestle, but, you know, man was working pretty hard there and ended up getting injuries. I thought the match was good tonight. It's just one of those things where at this point, I was very ready for it to be over. Love MJF, love Adam Cole. I do think that Adam Cole excelled an awful lot in ROH because he was a guy that had a ton of character, and not everybody in ROH had a ton of character. Then he excelled in NXT because he was that unique hybrid of a lot of character and this really, really fast, hard work rate that wasn't always all over the place in NXT. It was a lot more prevalent in that era. But there isn't a ton in AEW that he does that other people can't do. I wouldn't say that we've seen it all from Adam Cole, but we've seen a lot. We've certainly seen his fastball enough times to judge it and pull one over the right field wall. Like, we've seen it. I'd like to see some other pitches from Adam Cole. I'd like to see him switch it up. Throw a few breaking balls in there. They tried it with the heel run last year. This match got blood. So Ospreay got split open earlier in the night. I don't know if this needed blood. And I understand that this is a year, and I put an asterisk next to that, year plus long feud. I think cumulatively it still is, probably. But don't know if it needed that. OGK got kicked out, which was really good. Bryce was like, will I fall for it? Yes, I will. MJF gets the win with I can't remember the name of his head scissors driver, but I love that move. Roddy and Kyle O'Reilly make the save, and the Undisputed Era has reunited along with Undisputed Kingdom. We got Taven and Bennett out there as well. I have long wanted an Undisputed Era run. I would like to see them either do trios or maybe a Roddy, KO, or Kyle O'Reilly tag team thing. Listen, I'm ready for the conglomeration to no longer be a thing. I don't think that Ishii has necessarily worked that well in AEW. I think it was cute for a while for Mark Briscoe. And Orange Cassidy is doing other things, unless you want them actively competing in like the trios division. But I mean, Ishii's back in Japan, so he's been working there the last. Road to Tokyo Dome. Yeah, he was teaming with Shota, so yeah, he's back there. So I'm good if the conglomeration is no longer a thing, because I don't think that Mark Briscoe really wants to do a tag team run without his brother, and I don't blame him. I don't blame him. A trios run, sure. Undisputed Kingdom back together. Okay. But also, this match was good. This match was a fitting match for, you know, the end of this feud that I think that almost everybody would kind of agree just went on too long. But, you know, I'm also not on board with this revisionist history that this story always sucked, because it didn't always suck. It was very good. It was very entertaining. It was very funny. It was one of my favorite things that they were doing for a long time. But it was one of my favorite things they were doing for a long time in a much different AEW. AEW's identity has adjusted so much since then. MJF had to take a lot of time off. Adam Cole missed an entire year. CM Punk is gone from the company. Bryan Danielson is no longer wrestling. Sting has retired. A lot of things have changed. Kenny Omega missed an entire year. We're in an AEW where Miro hasn't wrestled in a whole year. Ricky Starks hasn't been there in 8-9 months. Rampage will no longer exist after this week. It no longer exists now. Mercedes Moné is in the company. Adam Copeland has joined and then missed 8 or 9 months himself. A whole lot of stuff has changed. I want to see them do something else. It's time to move on. Time to move on. Lucha Brothers are gone as well. My God. Jade Cargill has left the company since All In London last year. Takeshita and Powerhouse Hobbs, let's talk about this. The meat, by God. You want to talk about things that have changed for AEW, they have gone vegetarian, gone a little vegan this year. No Miro. You had Hobbs missing some big time. Wardlow got hurt. I saw somebody asking about Wardlow in the chat. He's been hurt for quite a while. But the meat, Keith Lee has missed the whole year. A lot of the meat in AEW hasn't necessarily been there. You got the Brian Cage, Lance Archer team. That's fine. But let's be real. They haven't been like singles competitors, like heavily factored in a while. Brody King has emerged and done some cool stuff, but they don't quite have the meat that they used to have. And I think that Takeshita, who, you know, I would say in the light meat weight division, and Hobbs, certified meat bumping right there. Certified sirloin beef sons of bitch right there. This is something that I think AEW has missed out on for quite some time. And Blanton in the chat, just want to say, you're raw, right on the money. Hobbs selling tonight was phenomenal. A guy who isn't largely put in the position to sell a ton, selling his ass off. I thought Callis was really good on commentary too, because obviously he was there for his guy Takeshita, but he had a unique insight on Hobbs as well. There was a spot where Hobbs had his knee worked over and he took off his knee brace. And Callis was like, long-term, this is a bad idea. Short-term, it might win him the match. And he does really good about that. Like he has been a commentator. He did commentary spots in WWF. He did them on ECW. Like he's been around the world doing this stuff. And somebody that is good in these situations also does get everybody over, and that's something that Callis does really well. The limb work was really good at the beginning of the match, and Luis had a note here that it took off after the beginning of the match when that happened, and that really set it up. That led to a lot of people like really worrying for the health of Hobbs and Takeshita. And Hobbs proving that he can go in there with one of the guys that has an incredible motor. And there's a please be careful chant. Big power slam off the middle rope. Just phenomenal stuff. But Hobbs taking off the knee brace is sort of the beginning of the end there. And I think this was a wonderful way to set up that match. And there is an awful lot to Hobbs that we haven't got to see. We haven't got to see that big singles run. We haven't got to see the top of the line solo work out of Hobbs. He'd been with Team Taz, then with Don Callis, and now he's like, he's back from injury, and hopefully this isn't just like it. Hopefully there's more to it. We'll ask our moderator, Luis, to pick up any important notes from the scrum, and then we will disseminate them to you guys. But listen, a lot of you are asking, how am I going to get libraries of wrestling companies? How will I be able to watch this? Where will I be able to watch this? Listen, I got your cheat code, buddy. I got your secret. It's NordVPN.com/Fightful. Are high pay-per-view prices getting to you? Maybe MLB blackouts, maybe the insane cost of Sunday ticket, whatever it might be. NordVPN.com/Fightful is here to help. You get NordVPN.com/Fightful. You change your virtual location with one click. Maybe you want to be in the West Coast when you can't watch a game on the East Coast. They got you covered. Maybe the pay-per-view prices are just too high, or there's too many of them. Switch your virtual location overseas and get the prices that they're paying there. NordVPN.com/Fightful does it all for you. And that's in addition to their password manager, their protection on public Wi-Fi, the ability to use it on all your devices, including your router, your TV. It doesn't matter. They've got you on all those. And a 30-day money-back guarantee. Maybe you're just feeling wild and you want to try it. Well, you know what? In 30 days, if you don't like it, spoiler, you will. You can get your money back. NordVPN.com/Fightful. Mercedes Moné versus Chris Statlander. Man, another match that started off quiet, and these girls got them. Man, Mercedes, I'll give you this spoiler. In the match of the year voting for the Fightful Awards presented by NordVPN.com/Fightful, she was going off. I think she would have got more votes for a lot of the performer of the year stuff had she wrestled the first half of the year, but unfortunately she was sidelined. But like Azuki and Chris Statlander, my God, man, Mercedes is killing it right now. And this is what you wanted. If you were AEW, this is what you needed. This is what you wanted. When you got Mercedes, you weren't necessarily going after the CEO. You were going after the girl who goes out and has some of the best matches that you could imagine. Pulled out a good match with Anna Jay, had an unbelievable match with Chris Statlander, had another great one with Chris Statlander. It's just, for a while, those were happening outside of AEW. Like against Momo and, Azuki. But over the last, like, month or so, she's really turned it up. She's really turned it up. I believe it is also the first AEW women's match to pass 20 minutes, which, you know, is wild to think about. But you're good on them. It should have happened well before now. I'll say that. But it absolutely is a match that deserved it and should have happened. It says 1925 on there. Insane. And say, how has that not happened yet? How has that not happened? Unbelievable. My God. Thought that the measurements could be right. You can't trust anything on the internet these days. You got to do all the work yourself. And some incredible spots here. So there, the one criticism I would have is they did a spot that was very similar to the previous match. And this is where I think AEW should have a little bit better communication. Chris Statlander ended up having to take off her shoe after Hobbs took off his knee brace. Minimal complaint, whatever. Not that big of a deal. But it's also like a thing that is a little too derivative of the previous match. And I thought that about the three matches with blood tonight. I'm like, okay, all right, fine. But this match was unbelievable. And I see a complaint from Flame Inc. And Flame Inc., I promise, I'm not trying to pick on you, buddy. It says, you're telling me the move that hospitalized Cody Rhodes with spinal damage, the package pile driver by KO was kicked out of by Mercedes. And people wonder why some fans don't take AEW seriously. What the shitting fuck are you talking about? Penta has been doing that move for a decade across every damn promotion that ain't AEW. What on earth are we talking about here? Like, there's plenty of things to criticize AEW for. One of them being the fact that they haven't had a women's match cross 20 minutes. I am old enough to remember watching highlights on WWF TV and then being like, this was the time that Ricky Steamboat went to the hospital because of a DDT. I'm like, come on, what? DDT gets kicked out of all the time. They did the Owen Hart pile driver onto the apron. It looked amazing. Phenomenal spot. Let me tell you one of my favorite things about that Owen Hart pile driver spot. First, phenomenal move. But it wasn't Mercedes trying to pin her and Chris Statlander kicking out. No, it was Chris Statlander barely answering a 10 count to get in the ring. That's brilliant shit right there, guys. That's good stuff to where you don't have a move kicked out of, but you sell the danger of it. Mercedes kicking out of a package pile driver. Mercedes is one of the greatest performers on the planet. Yes, she can kick out of stuff like that. We're not talking about Harley Graham. All due respect, I love you, Harley Graham. We're not talking about Harley Graham kicking out of a package pile driver here. We're talking about Mercedes Moné, WrestleMania main eventer. Huh? Held championships in NXT, WWE, AEW, New Japan Pro Wrestling. Come on, man. And he says, I only say that the last few weeks, WWE made the pile driver a dangerous move and AEW makes it just another move. What's that got to do with AEW? What's that got to do with AEW? Huh? What's that got to do with anything? I don't get it. Wait, so I'm sorry, because Okada beats people with the Rainmaker all the time, every short arm clothesline or ripcord clothesline in WWE's got to destroy people? No, absolutely not. Come on now. What are we doing here? I'll give you a good example. I'll tell you why I don't typically get bothered by those spots. Now, do I wish that pile drivers were way more protected? Yes, I do. Of course I do. I wish a lot of moves were widely protected. I became an MMA fan when I was little, but then I really started to love it when I saw a Best of Pride FC pay-per-view on DirecTV. And I saw a guy named Mirko Krokop. And that guy had a finishing move. The catchphrase was right leg hospital, left leg cemetery. Because if he kicked you in the head, you were getting knocked out. Go ask Alberto Del Rio. He got knocked out with a mask on. It was hilarious. That man would knock you out cold with a head kick. Well, as it turns out, a head kick from everybody isn't a finishing move. You'd like to think so. Sometimes it does, but a lot of times it depends on who is delivering the move. Kevin Owens delivered that move for a very long time in a very dangerous capacity. Oh, and by the way, Mirko Krokop, upon entering the UFC, got knocked out with his own finishing move. It's who delivers it. That's why I've pitched this directly to people before. I think they should have Jake Roberts do vignettes where he teaches somebody his DDT. If you go back and you look at Jake Roberts' interview with Chris Van Vliet, it's phenomenal. Chris says, how do you feel about people using your move and it not finishing people? And he goes, I love it. He's like, it's a part of the wrestling lexicon. And then what do people say? Well, if it was Jake Roberts, it was a finisher. It's about who does it. It's about who does it and how much they're willing to protect it. Listen, sometimes one punch isn't going to knock somebody out. Sometimes it takes a barrage, a combo. Sometimes you got to hit them with everything in the kitchen sink. And it still won't put them away. Do I think there are some moves that should be protected more? Absolutely, man. Like Ring of Honor, like five years ago, I used to get just so like, when I would see like, some top rope brain buster or something, not pin somebody, but it's about who delivers it and how protected it is. And Flame Inc., I just want to say, I not trying to minimize your opinion or anything like that. I just vehemently disagree with that. And you are entitled to your opinion. Love for Boost says, was that supposed to be a Ganzo bomb on the apron? I thought Stat died, looked dirty AF. No, it's the Owen Hart pile driver, the sit-out pile driver. It's just there's no real way to protect yourself on that. Like the tombstone style. That's why Rikishi would go over his shoulder because your head wouldn't hit. He could control you, all that stuff. It's real hard when you're holding somebody like that. It's very tough. Irene says, Mercedes and Stack killed it tonight. No, Mercedes is the franchise of the division, but if any title could have changed, I wish Stat had won tonight. Yeah, I think it's time to find somebody marquee. Well, I can't say equally marquee with Mercedes and put it in danger. She hasn't ever really felt in danger. By the way, I wanted to mention, as Blanton says, nobody's finished anyone with a Falcon Arrow consistently in ages. I will say, I love that spinning Falcon Arrow of Takeshita, buddy. Oh boy, do I love that. Blanton, Athena, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. That is one. Build Hater. Man, it's AEW is in that unique position. It used to be when people would go away for a while and come back, they'd be hot, hot, hot. But it took a while for Thunder Rosa. And Britt Baker didn't catch fire. And Thunder Rosa isn't catching fire. I think I meant Jamie Hayter. I don't know if I said Thunder Rosa again. Some notes from the scrum. Tony Khan says he loved running Hammerstein. He'd be very open to continuing that. He says they were a huge success. Collision did its biggest rating in a year and a half running there. Said at the start of the year, records reset. Copeland said he's been cleared to wrestle for a while now, but he and Tony talked about Copeland dealing with the fallout from the hurricane. They've been brushing their teeth with bottled water for 3 months in Asheville. My God, man. Beautiful area. I just want to say I love North Carolina. If I could live one other place, buddy, North Carolina. Rovan says, I took two steel toe boots to the dome in a mosh pit once and lived to tell the tale. I can handle a kick out in a wrestling match. Man, I guess it's I've watched so much MMA that I'm like, there are things that you would couldn't believe that people survived, right? There is an MMA situation for everything. There is an actual real life fight situation for almost everything that people say. That's not believable. Apologies for coughing into the mic. Okada defeated Ospreay. Ospreay bleeds, of course. I thought for sure, this was going to go way longer than it did. Also, my God, Mercedes and Chris did go over 20 minutes. They went 24. You can't even believe anything on the internet that's being corrected on the internet. I can't fact check while I'm on the air. It went 24 minutes. It is the first women's match to ever go over 20 minutes. My apologies for the confusion. It's been a long week. Luis's note from the scrum is, wow, scrum is already over. It's a new age, friends. So Okada Ospreay going 19 minutes. I didn't think that was going to happen. I thought they were really going to go for a while because we had, an hour and a half left in the show? Let's be real, guys. These pay-per-views usually go all the way up till midnight, and then the scrums go till 1:32. Very rarely do I outlast the scrum. Good for them. Okada was pulling everything out to beat Ospreay. Ospreay does a rainmaker. Ospreay gets that blood. So it wasn't quite as dramatic as what I referenced earlier in the evening. But one of the things that I loved, it wasn't a callback, but a little bit of a reference. Steve Austin in the 96 King of the Ring busted open his lip, had to get stitched up, came back, whooped Jake Roberts' ass in the King of the Ring finals. Now, Ospreay didn't win, but he did get busted open. It did help to give Ospreay a little bit of an excuse as to why it is that he didn't win. Zach Schimmel sends just a bomb monster super chat. Thank you, Zach. One of our longest supporters ever. I just want to say thank you so much. He says, what a show. The card was meh for me on paper. Then it ended up being phenomenal. Then Omega returns. Copeland returned, which wasn't on my bingo card. Wish Ospreay would have won, but that was match of the night. Got tickets for Fight for the Fallen. Hype for that. Love Fightful. I'm excited to see how Fight for the Fallen goes. I know these next 2 weeks are important to AEW and they're important to WBD. I know the Cincinnati shows, there's something regarding like the advertising that makes it important for WBD. I don't know necessarily what that is, but like, listen, you're on Max now. You're on the same app as Euphoria and Peacemaker and so, you know, some of the greatest programming you've ever seen. Sopranos Library, The Wire Library. You want to be on that. Your loved one into true crime stuff like me. Well, they got that on there too. This is a real opportunity for AEW. And Kenny Omega is back. FightfulSelect.com. Your boys reported it. Also, I want to thank who is on Twitch. Who sent us the raid on Twitch, by the way? I don't know if Luis could find that out or just somebody who's watching on Twitch could let us know, because I just see that somebody raided us. So I wanted to say thank you to them personally. That means an awful lot. I don't promote our Twitch a ton, but yeah. Somebody says, Sean, send any angry voicemails lately? Hell yeah, send angry voicemails to people who threaten and harass the father of a dead child and send harassment to a Dead Kids Pediatric Cancer Foundation. Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you, Turnbow, is that something that you advocate? Because I get this a lot. I get this a lot now because a guy had posted about that. Hell yeah, I sent him a voicemail. And hell yeah, I was upset about what he did. That's crossing the line to me. That ain't okay. It is not okay to stomp on a dead child's memory, legacy, any of that, and actively troll his family. That's horrible. Horrible. And by all means, if you advocate that, if you support that, if you say, you know what, Sean, you should have let that go. Don't support me. Don't follow me. Don't subscribe to my website. Don't click on my articles. Don't talk about our scoops. Don't do any of that stuff. Because I haven't referenced that fella publicly in a while, but it's at Sittin' in Gorilla on Instagram and TikTok. He posted a voicemail that I left him and edited out the part where I said, you should apologize to that man for what you said about his dead child. I was on a Spaces with that child's father. And he said, you know, my kid would be 13 today. And he said, there's nothing he can do to me that hasn't been taken from me. But yeah, you want to bring that up here? Yeah, sure. We can talk about it. I did a big old space on it a few weeks ago. You best believe if I'm coming at somebody, I got receipts on them, buddy. I ain't going at somebody for random wrestling shit. You ain't going to see nobody being able to say, hey, Sean Ross, he left me a voicemail. He left me an angry DM over some wrestling stuff. I don't give a fuck what you think about pro wrestling. You can enjoy or not enjoy whatever you want. Whatever you want. What you can't do is harass a dead child. Sorry to digress, my friends, but hey, where's old dude? Did he not follow up with another comment? Did he not say anything? Or did he leave? Hey, who sent that Twitch raid, by the way? How am I pronouncing this? Is it Graze Streams? I just want to make sure that I give them their love, because that means an awful lot. Because, listen, I don't know Twitch. I don't know how to do any of that. And I just want to say thank you to them for doing that. That's very, very kind of you. But a reminder, guys, leave your thumbs up, all that stuff. Kenny Omega is back. There was something that I didn't like about this. And I think it was Shivani saying, oh, we don't know how long it'll take him to get into wrestling shape. And I was like, what? He's wrestling next week. He's wrestling Gabe Kidd next week. First off, why aren't they mentioning that? Like, mention your partner that you're doing business with. Now, I know that there were a lot of people that were like, oh, why would Kenny Omega return on New Japan and not AEW? And I talked to Kenny about it on camera. First off, pile driver finisher, you're right, Gabe Kidd is a beast. When somebody asked me who I wanted Kenny Omega to face, I said Gabe Kidd. He sells matches like fights. He's one of my favorite people to do interviews with. He's phenomenal. He talks that shit. He's like if Conor McGregor was a wrestler without all the horrible shit that Conor McGregor has done. And I know that for Kenny Omega, he was like, well, you know, it's important for maintaining a relationship and Japan is important to me. He said that AEW didn't need him. But yeah, of course, AEW needed Kenny Omega. Yeah, they need Kenny Omega. There ain't ever a time where they didn't need Kenny Omega. They've always needed Kenny Omega. But when you take a Switchblade Jay White, you take a Kazuchika Okada, you take a Will Ospreay from New Japan, it goes an awful long way to say, yeah, we'll send a whole lot of guys over to Japan for Wrestle Dynasty, even though there's some that can't make it because of Collision. But sending Kenny over there, which, by the way, he leaves on January 1st for that, I believe. So I don't know if he'll be on this week's Dynamite yet. Don't know. But Christopher Daniels also said he's not an EVP anymore, but Omega is. But Omega just handed the championship to Okada. And so Crazy 101 says Kenny Okada All In Texas main event. And I get it. Like, but we're talking about 7 months away. It's hard to like circle back to that in 7 months. But you also have to have Kenny at least acknowledge Okada because Okada wrote him off, right? But I was hoping that Omega would get up on the ramp and say, nah, to hell with this, and go in and slug it out with Okada. Now, I know there's a lot of people that say, okay, well, they'll get back to it for All In. But what until then? What are we doing until then? I could see a world where Kenny Omega maybe becomes international champion. And I would love to see them like merge those titles. And I hope they don't call it the Intercontinental title though, because that makes it seem less than international. You know what I mean? As opposed to it leveling up. But they certainly leaned in heavy to the, okay, here's the shot of Omega and Okada, and there's the All In graphic in the background, right? I Am Crush NC says, one of my favorite AEW shows ever. Rewatching it now, every match hit, the stories, the returns, the show had everything. AEFNW. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Glad you enjoyed it. Should have main evented. This should have main evented. Okada Ospreay could have went longer. Kenny Omega coming back after, you know, all the bullshit that happened in the world title match could have brought some levity to the, okay, well, this is what AEW is now type of thing. And I say that liking the Death Riders, liking FTR, really liking FTR. Adam Copeland, one of my favorites of all time. Love Switchblade, love Hangman Page, love Orange Cassidy. What was the ending to this? I didn't like that at all. I kind of liked that everybody got involved, like Wheeler Yuta and Claudio and Marina and all that stuff, because Switchblade hitting the Blade Runner on Marina was a great spot. Jon Moxley was the BetOnline AG favorite by a large margin, by the way. But Hangman pulling the ref out, Yuta attacking the ref. And then Moxley won just like really as I thought it was kind of picking up. Like you went 17 minutes. It ended up being the third longest match on the show, as I saw. But if this was going to be the finish, I really think that Okada Ospreay should have main evented this show with Kenny coming back. But it was like as soon as that match just shifted into another gear, bam, it was over. And for the Jon Moxley doing the I hate what AEW has become, this isn't what AEW was built on. What are we talking about? Now, it was certainly built on surprise endings of pay-per-views with, you know, big appearances and returns and all that stuff. He did one of them, right? A Double or Nothing. But JM Garcia says, I feel like the main event should have used the Double Jeopardy match stipulation, would have added to the story between all four of them. Somebody fresh in my memory on that stipulation. Somebody hit me with the details of that. It's just been a long week. Death Rider's story ain't hitting for me. This match didn't hit for me. This finish didn't hit for me. Vicky says, oh, Vicky, our good friend, says, hi, SRS, like you, 2024 has been tough for me, but we got to meet each other, Vicky. You and your lovely friend, I'm sorry her name escapes me at this moment. Again, long week, but she said, I got Sting, Revolution, and all of you. Ospreay was phenomenal tonight. Loved watching Marina take Jay's finisher. Would love to see another faction get a woman to take her. I agree. And it's got to be someone just as imposing. It's got to be very, very similar, Vicky. It can't just be anybody. All due respect to, you know, Chris or Willow or anybody like that. It's got to be somebody on a real hot streak. Eloquent says they booked the main event like a Bloodline match. They did, but it didn't go as long as a Bloodline match. It went 17 minutes. Bloodline match is going to go 25 minutes. Going to have a little bit more to it. You're going to have somebody, maybe a little bit, somebody else coming out to help. Like, why didn't FTR and Adam Copeland come out and help before the match was over? Why didn't they do all the things to help literally anybody else win the title? Maybe that could be explained. Maybe Adam Copeland goes, I don't believe in meddling in somebody's business as much as I've done it in the past. But Copeland and it's rated FTR is what they are. I love the name. Love that. Hope they do trio stuff. Hope they do a lot of that. But they do have a match this week. But Copeland ends up doing the crossface with the bar across the mouth of Moxley, which he has now done to Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns as well. Crew Kid says, is Anthony Copeland Adam Copeland's lesser known half Italian cousin? What did I miss? Did I say Anthony Copeland or something? Did I mess that up or did somebody else mess that up? But I look at this and I'm like, could have been a Dynamite ending. Could have been a Collision ending. Or it could have been right before this. And Okada, Ospreay, Omega could have finished. Because I do feel like that was far more true to the spirit of AEW than what we saw in the main event. And again, that is me with me liking all the ingredients there. Get your super chats, get your humper chats in. We are about to wrap up. I want to thank you guys for joining me tonight. A reminder, Grapsody was on today. Post SmackDown show every Friday. Now it's going 3 hours. WWE Raw post show. I think we got the best one out there. Myself and Ibu, who also has a ton of inside sources. He has become such a great member of our team. Every Monday, Tuesday, get the post NXT show. Wednesday, AEW Dynamite. And I do the hump every Wednesday afternoon with Jimmy. Thursday, we got post ROH, post TNA. And also Tuesday mornings, we got Beyond the Bell with Andrew Zarian, who does such a phenomenal job. Mox has to bag Copeland, the only way to save Death Rider's story. I mean, they got to get like smothered, right? Like that's, you reap what you sow. It's got to be the way. Got to be the way. Guys, I want to thank you all so much, as always. If you are new here, just check us out. YouTube.com/Fightful, Fightful.com, and FightfulSelect.com. We are on Blue Sky. We are on Twitter. Full disclosure, our Instagram and Threads got hacked. We're trying to get that back. We're working on it. But I drop a bunch of interviews, podcast platforms everywhere. Last week, Bobby Lashley, Thunder Rosa, Stephen Flo, Lee Moriarty, Billy Stark, Shane Taylor, Big Boom AJ, Mina Shirakawa, Gabe Kidd, Tony Khan, Mance Warner. Just the last few weeks, we've had these. Ethan Page as well. Just a ton of them. I will be at the Royal Rumble is the next time I travel for work. I've got a Vegas trip next week or next month that Denise and I are doing, and we'll get some cool content for you guys there. But I want to say thank you, guys. If you're in the comments, I'm trying to go to the comments a lot more. Let me know your favorite thing, your least favorite thing about the show. If there's something you want to see on Fightful, let me know about it. We are always trying to evolve, trying to do new stuff. If you specialize in higher end like TikTok, Reels, and the like, or video producing, I'm looking to maybe bring somebody on for that as well. Somebody that ideally already watches all of our shows and interviews and stuff. We're looking to do a lot of new stuff, but guys, thank you all so much. This effectively, well, no, I've got Raw on Monday the 30th, by God, but I've got a Fightful Select Q&A show that drops on Monday as well. I'm just babbling at this point. Thank you to our wonderful sponsors, Helix, Bet Online, Blue Chew, and NordVPN.com/Fightful. Appreciate our great moderator, Luis, and all of you who have supported us. Until next time, we're out.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.